You want to pursue your MBA, but you look at your life and you see a giant juggling act. How are you ever going to balance your dreams with your responsibilities of a family, the finances, the often frenetic pace? I'm Diana Jordan with MBA Podcaster, and in this show, we will talk to real people who are doing just that, find out what they've learned, and get their advice to keep your juggling to a minimum. Mandy has 7-year-old twins, a husband who works for an international company, a full-time job of her own, and a baby.
You can say, oh my gosh, it's 2 whole years, or you could say, you know, it's only 2 years, and it goes by so quickly, and you'll be so glad you did.
We'll also hear from Andreas, 2 children, charts more than 100,000 air miles annually, has a rigorous fitness schedule, and is married.
As I was getting into the program, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I tapered my travel so that I could be with her. And then in addition to that, just tried to juggle work and school and giving her as much undivided attention as I could.
Jasmine and Dave got married, went through the MBA program together, and now have a baby.
It really was a wonderful time in our lives that we really enjoyed, so I would definitely recommend it.
I'd say the same thing. As much as the challenges are there, the benefits definitely outweigh it. We both look back on that experience, and it's 2 of the best years, I think, in either of our lives.
And the school plays a critical role in keeping the juggling act to a cool minimum. Debbie is with Brigham Young University.
The student and the school have got to work together, and I just can't emphasize enough that it's just finding that right fit for both.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Veritas Prep, one of the world's leading GMAT test preparation and admissions consulting providers. Everything about the Veritas Prep GMAT course has been designed to enable students to confidently approach the exam with a deep understanding of the material, not with tricks or devices for merely surviving the GMAT. And Veritas Prep's thorough curriculum is just the beginning. Only people who have scored in the 99th percentile on an actual GMAT exam are even considered for an instructor position with the company, and every new instructor must complete over 100 hours of training before leading a class. Veritas Prep's MBA admissions consulting services feature head consultants who have formerly served as admissions officers, application readers, and interviewers at the world's top MBA programs. MBA Podcaster listeners receive a $150 discount on any Veritas Prep GMAT course, private tutoring, or admissions consulting school package by registering with the code POD150. Learn more at veritasprep.com.
Juggling a family life while pursuing an MBA, you have a dream, you have a family, you have unique challenges, stressors, the money, children's needs, partner's needs, racking up debt while cutting the paycheck, irregular schedule. The joys, realizing that you can have it all if you plan ahead, communicate with your family, choose a school that fits your needs, and you are flexible to handle life's unexpected changes. Jasmine Adams and Dave Adams were married 4 years when they decided to pursue their MBA at Brigham Young University together. They got their MBA in finance in 2004, were hired by the same corporation, Kmart, in Detroit. Then corporate changes led to Jasmine deciding to have a baby, and the family moved to California, where Dave works for Occidental Petroleum.
I guess I don't know if we had a particular strategy. Maybe we should have, but we kind of just took challenges as they came. And there definitely were some, but it wasn't really, to us, I don't think it seemed much different than the kind of challenges you face outside of school. There were definitely some that were maybe unique, just working together as colleagues as well as being a couple. But we kind of took them as they came.
One of the challenges that I specifically remember as being significant to us was the challenge of separating ourselves from being colleagues and being a married couple. Because MBA school is so time intensive and envelops so much of your life that we just became almost exclusively colleagues when we didn't focus on stepping back and also being a couple. So that was one of the definite challenges that I think that we faced.
What did that look like for you?
The kinds of things we're thinking of is that we would work together in groups, which is one of the most common formats in graduate school, especially business school. You'd have to interact, sometimes be critical of one another's ideas or thoughts. I think that's pretty unique to a married couple being in school together. And we didn't just have, you know, a passing work together. We probably worked together I would say Jasmine was one of the people I worked with most in graduate school, just partly because of interest in working together and partly because our groups would overlap. So we were working together a significant amount of time, and there's that time when you're in a group and one of you makes a suggestion and the other doesn't think it's correct, and here you are. You're not only working together and need to be offering criticisms, but you're a married couple.
And I would say the other side of that is also you get used to, you know, we're in a public place, we're not going to show affection, which you wouldn't in any kind of public arena, but you know, you're not sitting there holding hands, you're not flirting with each other like you might on a date on a Friday night or something. But so, like I was saying, you just get so into that mode that you forget to do mm-hmm. that. So I would say during the whole time of graduate school, it was very rare that we went out and just had fun because we were always spending time together. So it didn't really stand out to us that, you know, we really need to work on this other part of our marriage.
One story that came to my mind as she was saying that was a professor who did not realize we were married and taught at least one or two classes to us before someone finally pointed that out, that we had the same last name and we were in fact married. So probably to some of the people we were in school with, it wasn't, especially the professors, it wasn't obvious that we were married. And maybe that was something we shouldn't have been so careful to protect.
Now you have a baby. How is that going for you?
I've made the choice to stay home with our child at least for the coming couple of years. And so definitely going from having two incomes to one has been a strain. Not necessarily a strain, I guess, but just an adjustment. And also just the changing our roles from going to we're both working, we both have these similar challenges, and now we have very different challenges, which actually I think has been good for our marriage, separating our roles a little bit, relying on each other a little bit more for the things that we need.
This is kind of a different phase of our life where we both see each other as having those unique roles. And I think it was always a challenge seeing each of us as filling the same niche, you know, so seeing us both as being a potential provider and, you know, having the same level of education and really fitting into the same spot in the family. You know, that was good. It had its upsides to it. It's great having a spouse who you feel like you can talk about your work with and she has an understanding of it and vice versa. But it also just presents that unique challenge that you both have the leadership role in every way and in every similar aspect.
And you both want it, mm-hmm. is kind of where I think you start to butt heads. We both have that kind of personality where we want to be in control. So this, you know, kind of gives us our own domain to have control of.
It is an ever-shifting balance of power that works for Mandy Hoos. Mandy works for Hewlett-Packard and is about halfway through her MBA at George Fox College. Her husband works for Adidas. The couple has 7-year-old twin boys, and their baby girl was 9 months old when Mandy entered the MBA program. Mandy, why did you decide to do this all at once?
Well, I have to say the first thing that was really necessary for me to make that choice was wonderful support from my spouse. Jeff is very supportive of me doing this and helps me find those times, those pockets of time, when I can dedicate some of my time to studying or writing that paper. So that's really important, as well as the support of the older boys. They understand, you know, that mommy goes to school too, and so, you know, she has homework, and so that's helpful. So my family is very supportive, and just a real desire to continue my education and finish helps me make sure that I find that time.
But you've got a baby too, and babies aren't necessarily understanding, so how do you handle that?
It's not always easy. You're correct. Babies don't always understand, but babies are also easily diverted. Having her play with the boys in another room, or dad taking her for a walk, or a really great time is nap time, right? She still takes 2-hour naps in the afternoon, so weekends I at least get that time towards studying.
Your husband has a high-stress job, and also it sounds like you're moving to Germany. So, I mean, that's a lot of stuff that's going on here in your life, Mandy.
Yes. I don't want to say the busier I am, but up to a certain maximum. The more I have going on, the more organized I am. And you're right, my husband's really busy too. He has a job that keeps him very busy. And so, you know, it takes a lot of communication between us to make sure he understands when I have a lot on my plate and I have to understand when he has a big presentation coming up. And we juggle that and we make decisions that way. For example, if we do get the fantastic opportunity of being expatriates in Germany, then based on that and his discussion and what that would do for his career, I made the decision to double up my class, which is not really recommended, but to make sure that that's in line with his career goals as well as still being able to meet mine. I wouldn't want to get almost done with my MBA and then he have to go and having to make those hard decisions. So really planning, communicating, knowing what's coming. It's not an easy juggling act by any means, and sometimes we miss things, and you know that causes some stress, but you know everyone has stress in their life, so I really can't complain. I have excellent communication with my husband, and that's really important.
Sometimes life just blindsides you. Andreas Gast is 45 years old, logs more than 100,000 air miles a year for his high-tech sales and marketing job at 3Com and otherwise telecommutes. He is pursuing his EMBA at George Fox. He's been married 23 years, and the couple has a 22-year-old son and a 17-year-old daughter. What kind of stressors have you found on your family life in terms of your wife and children and managing that with the job, with going through the MBA and an EMBA?
And I'm an avid cyclist as well, so I did about 3,200 road miles this year. Time management is very critical. Stressors generally come into play with the normal things in life, just the crushes, the family emergencies that come up, whether they're small or large, deadlines relative to work and deadlines relative to school, and as luck would normally have it, Murphy's Law, things all converge normally at once. So generally, when those things happen, I tend to be a little bit distracted, let's put it that way, not focused on what's going on around me with the family.
Your wife went through some critical times as well.
So just as I was getting into the program, she was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. And that was huge for us personally, her especially. And we made a mutual decision. I tapered my travel so that I could be with her. And then in addition to that, just tried to juggle work and school and giving her as much undivided attention as I could. Other than one trip at the end of her radiation, I was with her for every surgery, and there were multiple, all the radiation, all the doctor's appointments. So it was just a matter of trying to fit all of that into our schedule. And thankfully, it's coming up on 2 years now that she's been clean.
Do you feel as if your family has taken the short end of the stick in any way, shape, or form because of the responsibilities that you've had?
Great question. I think that they've had to make allowances. I wouldn't necessarily say the short end of the stick. We all agreed when I went into this that, you know, I was going to be doing this and that I would be less available. But we also focus on trying to find time together as a family, and then my wife and I together as a couple, so that we stay connected.
What about the timing of pursuing an MBA? Let's put that question to Mandy. It seems as if most people put in some time after college on a job, and then you go for your MBA, and it seems as if everything hits at once, the marriage, the kids, the MBA, and that's a lot of stuff going on, and you have to make a living, too.
Right. My husband and I had talked for several months on more than one occasion about me getting my MBA, but then we were like, oh, but the baby's only 9 months old. She was 9 months old when I started, and, you know, it was a really tough decision, but, you know, what my recommendation to anyone considering is, you know, you can say, well, let's wait 3 months or wait 3 months. There's always going to be something. You know, there will almost always be something that you could put in, well, that's in the way or that's in the way. And you have to make those decisions. And, you know, I certainly don't give up time with my baby girl, because I wouldn't give up the first 2 years of her life for anything. But you learn to make the time that you spend with them count. You probably make more time because you make a concerted effort to make sure you're spending time with them. So, you know, it's worked for me because we chose. I was like, you know, I can keep saying, well, she's this, and she, well, next year she'll only be, you know, two, and do I want to give that up? So, you know, it's not an easy decision, but it's a worthwhile decision, and it's 2 years of my life as you make that concerted effort. I don't feel like I've missed anything. It just takes more planning and scheduling, and, you know, you might not watch TV during the week, which, you know, is fine, absolutely fine with me. So you give up, I think you find yourself giving up things that were nominal or not really important, that were really eating up your time.
Then there's the money issue. Jasmine and Dave, while married, went through school together. During school, what were some of the things that popped up maybe more than others? For example, money or attention or each other's personal needs, or maybe even racking up the debt while you were married, because I don't know whether you worked while you were going to school, but certainly the tuition would be costly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were both in a full-time program, the same program. So from that aspect, we did have to rely on some student loans. It was something we looked at pretty carefully before graduate school, knowing that we'd have twice the debt load of the average family leaving graduate school. And we didn't know if Jasmine was going to be in the the workforce long term or if it was going to be for a few years. So that kind of gave us a unique challenge.
The Adams went to Brigham Young, where Debbie Roos has advised the MBA Spouse Association. BYU has among the largest population of married MBA students. 72% of the second-year students are married, 67% of the first-year students.
The biggest challenge would be for the student to make sure that their life is balanced so that they're not spending all of their time with schoolwork, but they're not also spending all of their time with their family, but there needs to be a balance there. And we do have MBA Spouse Association that is extremely active. They're even much more active than the Student Association is in making sure that they're there to support the spouses of those students that are going to school, and then also helping with any family problems that come along. We have a number of babies that are born every single year, as you can well imagine, while the students are going to school, and if the spouses can pick up and help each one of those spouses along the way, that takes off a little bit of burden from the student, and they can still concentrate on their studies.
What are some of the special programming ideas that Brigham Young has instituted?
In the Spouse Association, they are divided up into various committees, and one of those committees that they have is for international students, so that they can help the spouses with any issue that they may have in the first time coming to America, so that they can teach them where to go grocery shopping and get their kids into school. Maybe they have grade school children and help them that way. They also are really involved in activities for the preschoolers that are left at home so that the spouses can find time to get away, but then they can also know that their preschool children are being helped and watched over by very capable and responsible women.
What do you see as some of the stressors in particular for married students that maybe was unanswered years ago until you instituted some of these programs?
Our director of the program, Jim Stye, has done an excellent job in making sure that any spouse who maybe would have a concern or a problem, and it could just be that the spouse and the student aren't communicating well, that the spouse is always welcome, and the student also. The students already know this, but the spouses did not know this, but that they could come to Dr. Stye and talk to him at any moment about any concerns or problems that they have. We also work with the core faculty, so those faculty that are teaching the first-year students, and making sure that they don't all give exams or they don't all have projects due at the same time, but that they spread those out throughout the semester so that we can lighten that stress load just a little bit more.
Would you recommend couples go through an MBA program together?
Yeah, I think so. Given the negatives or the challenges, really, I think we'd still both recommend it. We're both kind of nodding our heads here. I actually come from a family who my sister and her husband did the same thing before us, so that gave us an example and showed that, yeah, it can be done, and they were both in school full-time.
And I think it gives us a wonderful base to draw from throughout our lives. Whether I return to the workforce or not, we both have this time in our lives where we were very connected and on the same page, and we have this, you know, experience. It's such an intense experience. You're so dedicated to it that I thought it was wonderful to be able to do it with my husband and share it with my husband. We can reminisce together about the exact same memory.
The promise of the future and the good things to happen seems to override the trouble, the challenges. Is that true in any way for you?
Very much so. It's been a lifelong dream of mine to complete a graduate program, specifically an MBA. Didn't happen earlier in my career. So this was a very opportune time with my children getting to the point where they're more independent. And I knew that there was going to be a lot of additional load, stress, work, activities, you name it, everything that generally puts pressure on you. But underlying all of that, I'm very positive by nature, and I knew that it was just a short-term commitment to gain the benefit of the additional knowledge and the skill set that it was going to give me, that it would be a very positive payout for me. So that journey, which 7 months from now will be complete, has been, while hectic, has been wonderful. It's really just a matter of focusing on prioritizing your time, your energy, and your focus to gain the benefits of what you get through the program. And for me, it's been a wonderful experience.
Debbie Roos of BYU says some couples do well, others don't, and it's fairly predictable.
The ones who have problems are just that. The spouse did not have something in the outside world to do, that everything that they did and everything that they thought and everything that they, who they were, was wrapped around the other spouse. So they need to be just a little bit disconnected. I hate to use that word, but a little bit disconnected during this 2 year, so that the student coming to school can participate in those school activities and be focused on that, and the spouse that is not going to school would have outside interest to keep them occupied and let them use their talent in that way outside of the area.
And with married couples who are in class together, there are particular challenges, as Dave and Jasmine have found.
With a colleague at school, you'd be careful about how you worded a criticism. You would try to be a little more political about offering that, whereas we're comfortable to just throw out, well, that's a rotten idea, in front of a group of peers. And you have to be careful with that because, you know, these peers are going to be people who, down the road, you may be working with them professionally, and there needs to be a mutual level of respect. So you have to kind of show that towards each other rather than diminish one another in front of a group of people. That was a challenge, I think.
I would agree with that.
And in families where one person is pursuing the MBA.
If you're going down the path and you have it as a personal goal and you're not involving your family, it's not going to work very well because allowances have to be made. And it has to be in the context of mutual consent amongst everyone in the family. And that's not to say that it still doesn't cause stress and a little friction here and there. But if everyone agrees up front and the communication is there throughout, then it works out.
If a student's married and has a family, what are some of the things that they should ask when they're looking at different MBA programs?
They need to approach it together as that they're both being admitted to the MBA program, even if it's just one that's coming. So they would need to ask what kind of support is given to the spouse that's not going to school, if they're both attending school, how do we work that? How do we work out our schedules? What do we do about daycare, insurance, and where do we live? Is the housing market conducive for students that are going back to school with the family?
More advice from Jasmine and Dave.
If that's something that you're going to do with a family or with a spouse, that just understanding and talking to an alumni or talking with the administration of the program would definitely be a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. I think the other thing that I learned from being a couple in a business school was that you don't need to shy away from it. You don't need to be afraid to mention the fact that your wife is also a finance student. And if you're in an interview situation with a company, that's something that's, I think, worthwhile to bring up, because more often than not, recruiters and even during the admissions process with school, people took notice of the fact that you were a couple and were interested in it. And it, if nothing else, it just registered in their mind and they were going to remember you maybe in the hiring process or admissions process later on. I think it also gave each of us a unique angle in a sense in marketing ourselves, because at the time companies were really starting to hire more, ramping up hiring, and to find out that they can move two people and have two financial analysts start for a company that are kind of part of a package, in a sense, I think was attractive to a lot of recruiters.
And definitely that was something with going into interviews in the beginning. We weren't quite sure how we should approach it. You know, at one point we even thought, well, maybe I should use my maiden name on my resume so that they don't connect us. But in the end, I think it was definitely an asset.
Yeah.
And from business school, we both went to work for the same company, and it worked out well that way. We were both in finance, but we had very different roles in finance, and we liked it that way. We didn't want to work quite too closely together.
Andreas Gast has more advice.
It's really just a matter of sitting down and figuring out front what a game plan is, then being very willing and open to adjust that game plan as things go along. What I find myself doing on a regular basis is, I call it flex for me, where I will push very, very hard and very intensely for periods of time, and then I'll pause, I'll take a deep breath, and I'll kind of collect myself, and that's when I'll really focus on the other areas of my life, you know, me personally, physical fitness, and the family. So it's not a constant thing that you're dealing with where it's all of the pressure all of the time. It's a matter of sequencing things and then finding those periods where you can decompress and get a little downtime to refresh yourself. So it's really a matter of just finding those opportunities, and when you have them, take advantage of them. So that's first and foremost. On the financial side, it's having a game plan, and then, again, also being flexible in how you adjust to that. And then overall, it really boils down to communication with your family, with your friends, with your employer, your coworkers, and the people that you're associated with in the program itself.
Anything else that you want to mention, Mandy, that has to do with being married with children in the MBA program?
Just the main thing that I would stress to anyone is, you can do it. It can be done. You have to make some real choices, but it's worthwhile. I feel very fulfilled in getting my education, being able to work and raise a family with my spouse. It's very fulfilling, and as you make each of those milestones, it's like, oh, I've completed one class, oh, two. And now, you know, a year and some odd later, I'm halfway done, and it's so within reach.
You can succeed in this juggling act. It takes planning, focus, communication, love for your family, and a passionate pursuit of your vision.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Veritas Prep, one of the world's leading GMAT test preparation and admissions consulting providers. Everything about the Veritas Prep GMAT course has been designed to enable students to confidently approach the exam with a deep understanding of the material, not with tricks or devices for merely surviving the GMAT. And Veritas Prep's thorough curriculum is just the beginning. Only people who have scored in the 99th percentile on an actual GMAT exam are even considered for an instructor position with the company, and every new instructor must complete over 100 hours of training before leading a class. Veritas Prep's MBA admissions consulting services feature head consultants who have formerly served as admissions officers, application readers, and interviewers at the world's top MBA programs. MBA podcaster listeners receive a $150 discount on any Veritas Prep GMAT course, private tutoring, or admissions consulting school package by registering with the code POD150. Learn more at veritasprep.com.
For more information, advice, and to register for your biweekly MBA podcast, visit MBAPodcaster.com. I'm Diana Jordan with MBA Podcaster. Thanks for listening. Next time, we explore international career opportunities for MBA graduates. Stay tuned.